kingdom breaking into the ordinary lives of these 20 or 25,000 people gathered to hear Jesus speak, and all of a sudden the kingdom is poured out on them. It seems almost certain that we are to recall other miraculous feedings as recorded in the Old Testament. So, for example, in 2 Kings chapter 4, the prophet Elisha feeds 100 men using 20 loaves of bread and some ears of grain. And then, of course, we're all familiar with Moses and the people in the desert for 40 years, and they're fed every morning by this stuff called manna. Something like bread, but not like bread, that appears on the ground every morning, just enough for all of those people to eat, not enough for tomorrow. So they gather the manna and they're fed for that day by the hand of God. Thus, Matthew and the other Gospels, because all of the other Gospels have these stories, it appears are intending to draw a parallel between Jesus and Elisha and Moses. So once again, Jesus is cast in the image of a great prophet in Matthew's Gospel. Notice how there's an overabundance of food for this hungry crowd of 20 or 25 or 30,000. They are all fed and filled, and then 12 baskets of scraps are picked up by the disciples afterwards. There's more than enough to feed this crowd. So what began as a near disaster turns into a feast. What looked to be a sure opportunity for grumbling and crying children turns instead into a joyous and miraculous banquet for all of these people. And that's how the kingdom works. God is a God of abundance, not scarcity, overflowing grace, not insufficiency, copious blessing, not deficiency. We human creatures tend to see things differently. As we discussed last week in our ongoing study of Luke, we tend to look at the world with lenses of scarcity. One of our most persistent sins is not, in fact, the effort to accumulate wealth, but rather to guarantee security. To be sure that we will have enough for next week and next month and next year, we are all concerned about that. Rather than relying on the living God for our daily bread, we instead occupy ourselves in storing up enough. And remember, for the Hebrews in the desert, that didn't work. If they tried to store up manna from one day to the next, it rotted and went bad. So there was no way that they could try to store up enough for tomorrow. They had to rely on God for their daily bread, for their daily manna. This theme of relying on God is prevalent in Matthew's gospel. You may remember that story in chapter 10 in which Jesus sends his disciples out into the villages and towns of Galilee to heal and cast out demons and preach the gospel. And what does he say to them? Don't take extra food. Don't take an extra coat. Don't take a staff. Just go and count on God to care for you while you're out there healing, casting out demons, and preaching the word. And remember, that word is repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. So Jesus' instructions to his disciples are, go, but don't take extra stuff with you. Count on the people in whose houses you stay to care for you. You can be absolutely certain that I am as guilty as any other person when it comes to doubting God in these kinds of matters. I would rather count on myself. Thank you very much. I would rather have enough in the bank so that I don't have to rely on God. All of us fall into that trap, don't we? But still, the kingdom of heaven is a place of abundance and extravagance, and its presence and vitality are not in question. The kingdom is here among us today. The question is, can we live as kingdom people rather than hunkered down people? Can we see the King still at work in and among us, even when the stock market slides and unemployment rises and housing craters, as it did a few years ago? Can we still serve as the yeast in the bread of the world, bringing fullness and joy and flavor, that is, being kingdom people? In other words, can we still act as agents of the kingdom, even when it seems that the world is falling apart, as it did a few years ago? And then the question is there ever a time in which it doesn't seem that the world is falling apart? Can we still give generously of our own time and talent and treasure to the kingdom work which is going on around us, including through White Rock Presbyterian Church? Can we be kingdom subjects of abundance just as our sovereign God is a God of abundance? Are we able to see the kingdom sprouting up here and there like little mustard plants all around us? And do we prize the kingdom more than anything else, like a treasure in a field or a pearl of great price? Before Jesus feeds the crowd, he looks up to heaven and he blesses the bread and he breaks it and he gives it to his disciples. That formula should sound familiar, of course. It's almost exactly the ritual that Matthew records in the 26th chapter, in which Jesus is at the table with his disciples for the last time. And of course, we will use very nearly the same words right here when we gather for the Lord's Supper very shortly. Among many things, that supper is a reminder of God's abundant and overflowing grace. When we gather here around this table, we're reminded that God is not a God of insufficiency. God is a God of abundance. This table reminds us that there is waiting for us that so-called messianic banquet, in which in some amazing way that we can't understand, we will all of us gather around a table with Jesus at the head. And in that banquet, there is no insufficiency. There is no hunger when we gather there. Consider for just a moment what it might have been like if you had been among that crowd on that day. Surely it could not have escaped their notice that there wasn't enough food to go around. They had followed Jesus to this place, probably not expecting to be there all day. But as we well know from other accounts in the Gospels, when Jesus starts talking, people listen. And they could easily have lost track of time. So the evening grows on, it's growing late, they're getting hungry, their kids are getting hungry, and they probably recognize that there's not much food. So they watch as the disciples collect these 5 loaves and these 2 fish and carry them up to Jesus. They watch as he breaks the bread, and in some amazing way, it's multiplied, and the fish are multiplied. And the disciples carry all of these things out to the people who are seated on the grass, and they all eat. And the evidence is that Jesus is not still talking to them while they're eating. They are eating in the same way we do when we gather around our tables with our families. So they would be talking about the common things of life, how the crops are going, what the fishing season is like, something that happened in the synagogue last week. And the kids are filled. And you can be sure that they're not sitting still. The kids are hopping up and they're running all around the crowd, chasing each other and doing the things that kids do. Imagine the joy and the wonder and the sense that God is in this place. That God is doing something amazing through this man who looks just like any other man to them. That God is up to something new because they've never seen anything like this before. That perhaps this kingdom of heaven that this man keeps talking about is something real. God's abundance never fails and never falters and never weakens and never wavers. God is a God of abundance, not scarcity. And since we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, we share that abundance. The disciples come to Jesus and say, "We have nothing but these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, nothing but." And Jesus blesses those into abundance. Just think what Jesus can do when he blesses us in the same way, when he blesses us into abundance, which he does. Then the kingdom can and does become abundant and rich and present and alive in us, in our witness, in our service, in our worship, in our fellowship. The kingdom is present in all of those things that we do together as a community of Christ. We are a community of abundance, not scarcity. Because Jesus blesses us in the same way. So when we're tempted to say to ourselves, we have nothing but, it's good for us to remember what Jesus did on that day. Amen.